Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for being here and sticking around for the end of the day. I will try not to lull you to sleep in my monotone, drawn-out voice. The study is a little... For my postdoc, I did a lot of QI work at the Vancouver General where I work, so this is getting back into what I used to do more of than I do now. But it grew out... I work with our Level 1 hospital in Columbia, doing a variety of projects, and this one happened to be one that some of the trauma surgeons and myself were interested in doing as a QI project that turned into a research project, as many often do, of just seeing whether or not is everyone getting the same type of treatment in terms of, in this case, diagnostic imaging. The statistical analysis, I'll give credit to my former research assistant, Laura Raparez, who has left me for more money in another department. And then the physicians that we worked with were Dr. Smith and Dr. Fry, both of whom are no longer at the university with us. I have no relationships to disclose. I have subjective views and bias, and I spent enough time in Canada where I think we should have a single-tier system. That is probably the only disclosure that you need to know from me. Okay, for those of you who do look at quality of care in trauma studies, you know that there is a large body of literature related to disparities in care, particularly looking at the ultimate outcome of trauma care, mortality by insurance type, where we know that individuals without insurance tend to fare worse than individuals that do have insurance. Now, that can be explained and has been attempted to be explained by a number of different ways. It could be poor baseline health to begin with, poor access to rehabilitative and emergent care, aftercare, more inter-hospital transfers. It's also been attempted to be explained by looking at, ethnic minorities and the uninsured tend to have more fatal injury than other populations. But we also know that those similar outcomes, at least by insurance type, are found in any other health outcome that we study. So it's not so much a systems question as a socioeconomic and question. That being said, there are comparably fewer studies evaluating procedures, interventions that trauma patients receive in care and whether or not those are related to insurance type. And that's where the spirit of this study came from. Of the few studies that are out there that have looked at interventions and procedures received in care, we know that the uninsured, again, tend to receive fewer studies than patients with insurance. Now, the issue here, or the gap per se, is that the focus is usually on the uninsured versus the insured, and it's over the entire period of time, and not all the studies are taking into consideration patient pathology and things like that. So the focus of our study was, based on where the gap was, it's like, okay, what's going on with patients, all insurance types? And then also, let's break this up, not just over the entire course of care, but let's look at care in multiple points. And this is ongoing. We've looked at, here I'll talk about what's going on in the first 24 hours and the overall period of care, but we're also looking at other time periods as well. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. All right, the hospital where this is taken is at Palmetto Richland. It's an ACS verified level 1 hospital. We see about 2,400 patients annually. This particular study was only adults over a 2-year period, calendar period, 2011-2012. Everyone met our trauma registry inclusion that was in our study. We excluded burns, asphyxia, because a lot of those patients get transferred out if they're severe. All in-hospital deaths were excluded from the study because we're only looking at interventions received during care, and so we didn't want to bias it that way. Anyone who had missing data, ISS, age, those who left against medical advice were also excluded. So our total, our capital N was about 4,400. Our small N is 3,600. So we classified insurance type based on what's usually done in the literature. There's all sorts of plans that go under commercial indemnity. We have our Medicare, our Medicaid, those that are the hospitals picking up or self-pay for none, and then government insurance, which for us includes military, TRICARE, prison, both patient or prison population and guard. We excluded criminal intent, unknowns, organ procurements, and things like that from our analysis. covariates, number of demographic variables, and then clinical variables that we adjusted for. We looked at risk ratios for the binomial logistic regression of just looking at differences, unadjusted and adjusted, and I'll present only the adjusted results just for consideration of time today. Our primary analysis was just looking at, okay, let's look at differences across the entire hospital stay. We'll look at differences by insurance type during the first 24 hours, and then we'll do some sub-analysis where we're looking at the major trauma patient and then blunt force mechanism. And in all cases, commercial indemnity was our reference group. And we also did a sub-analysis. But in the primary analysis, we have all imaging type. We have CT, MRI, ultrasound, X-ray. And then we did some sub-analysis based on certain CT scans, which the physicians wanted to run just to see. And the scans that we did look at represent about 17% of all imaging that patients receive in our unit. I won't go through all of the descriptive statistics. Anyways, all insurance types, every variable that we looked at, there's differences across by insurance type. Age is, of course, is going to come up, but in terms of the average number of images that patients are receiving, when they're receiving them, the sociodemographic variables and all the clinical variables, there were differences across all of the patient groups categorized into commercial, Medicare, Medicaid, and under government. For the entire hospital stay, for the primary result, all patients, regardless of insurance type, received, on average, had greater risk of receiving fewer number of images compared to the commercial indemnity patients. And these are the adjusted results. The clinical significance of this could be questionable, considering that the upper bound of the confidence interval is getting close to one. So there is some, even though that it's not great to see, but whether or not that there's a great meaning to take from that could be debatable, just based on the upper bound of the limit. Within the first 24 hours, I think importantly, the differences tend to go away. They're not consistent across all groups, although they were remaining for the Medicare and the government insurance payers, and I'll go into that and into the discussion. But for the Medicaid and the no insurance, those differences are going away, although the trend would suggest that they're still there. And I should, if I didn't say this out loud, we are a not-for-profit hospital that does see an extremely high percentage of minority trauma patients relative to the total population. And again, within the first 24 hours and then the major trauma patient, the differences are still there, but they tend to go away again. Here now we're not seeing it with Medicare, but with the no insurance and government insurance, again, they're significant. And the Medicaid is, again, showing a trend of differences compared to the commercial indemnity group. If you take this and look at it within the first 24 hours and blunt force trauma, we see the same type of relationship, although, again, it's not consistent across all groups. Now, for the select CT scans that the physicians wanted to look at, for no patient group, these are, again, the X's are just signifying whether or not the relative risk ratio was statistically significant. I didn't want to cram everything on the slide. But over the select CT scans, it's the Medicare group, again, that is showing up as being less likely to receive the same number of images, and the government insurance group, but not those without lacking insurance or with Medicaid compared to the commercial folks. So ultimately, we can say, even though this is a retrospective study and looking at trauma records, we can say that insurance status is a determining factor in the delivery of radiographic imaging after adjusting for clinical and demographic factors, which is an improvement on the evidence that is out there by and large, which is lacking a lot of the clinical variables. There is, I think, importantly, mixed evidence that at least in the acute stage of care, those differences are tending to go away, which I think is a good thing. And considering that the physician shouldn't know whether or not, what the patient's insurance status type is when they're transferred in most cases, I think that's encouraging in that it might not point to physician bias per se in terms of how care is being delivered. Now, that being said, because the differences are still present, though, within the Medicare group, What I think is actually happening, and I need to find out if this is actually possible with our register, is to find out whether there's a difference between patients who have Medicare Plan A and Medicare Plan B, and if that is actually driving the differences that we're seeing. That's what my assumption is going to be, is that if we can separate them out, that's what will explain the difference going on. And the fact that the differences aren't being shown with the patients that don't have insurance may speak again to that we're a not-for-profit hospital and that the physicians can order what they feel that the person needs. Now, all those things being said, we haven't looked. I think it would be interesting to see whether or not these trends are going. Are these trends increasing or decreasing as the health exchanges are opening up and as more and more centers are going on as through the Affordable Health Care Act, and whether or not these trends are increasing or decreasing, or this in fact remaining the same. And we haven't surveyed the physicians at all to find out whether or not what their take is on there for all the attendings and the residences as well as not. If they're what their thoughts are on, or if they have any I'll be done in time. Okay. whether their biases are coming into effect, or if patients are actually deferring services as later on during care, and maybe breaking it up into the first 24 or 48 hours of care will speak to that. And 50% of the imaging that the patients are receiving are within the first 24 hours of stay within our unit, so we may not actually be able to answer that. And another question I think that should be asked is whether or not we're over-treating patients with imaging just based on their insurance type. I had those experiences when I go for dental care. They look at my insurance package and I get a lot more than what I probably need based on my insurer's ability to pay. So that could very well be an issue, although maybe not. I do want to say thank you to acknowledge our trauma registry. They're great with data. They're always there to help in any way they can, as well as the reviewers from our section. Feel free to email me if you have any questions. And thank you much for your time, and enjoy the rest of your conference.